in the New Testament scriptures, Luke chapter 13. I felt the need to suspend our series in the book of Ephesians in light of these catastrophes that are on our minds. Is there a word from the Lord? Luke chapter 13. Some Jews from Jerusalem approach the Lord Jesus and ask Him about victims of catastrophes. Why did they suffer such things? It says, there were present at that season some that told Him of the Galileans, that is, Galilean Jews, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So Pilate, you remember Pilate, who was the procurator who said that he finds no fault in Jesus, and he had these Jews murdered, and apparently he had the soldiers murder them with the sacrifices. So as the priests would slay the sacrifices, Pilate said, slay these people with them. And I don't think it includes that he made them sacrifice these bodies, but it's possible. But a terrible tragedy took place. Pilate, Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us was very ruthless. He was a tyrant. We don't see it in the scriptures as much. We see how he was a hypocrite, but we see a little glimpse of his being like a Pol Pot and like a tyrant in slaughtering his own people that he was representing. And so they came to Jesus, and what about these people that suffered such tragedy? And Jesus answering said unto them, Do you think that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then Jesus adds not a tragedy that was planned, but an accident that took place. The Tower of Siloam was near the Siloam Pool in Jerusalem. So now Jesus takes the situation actually dealing with Jewish Jerusalem Jews, not Galilean Jews. So we're assuming that the people that approached Jesus were Jerusalem Jews. Now he's giving a situation where Jerusalem Jews suffered an accident. He says, what about those 18, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell? The Bible doesn't show us, doesn't give that record, but Jesus knows that whatever reason they were there near the Pool of Siloam, and on the wall around Jerusalem, there was apparently a tower that was there for protection. Maybe they had guards in the tower, but it collapsed upon people beneath, and 18 people were killed. So Jesus says, or those 18. So he was obviously aware of current events, as we all ought to be. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam and fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then he gives a parable that relates to this situation. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, to put fertilizer around it. And if it bear fruit, well. But if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. This is the word of the Lord. What question should be asked, if any, about these monster hurricanes? Should we ask, is it global warming? Should we ask, is it just the bad luck of the draw? Was it just their turn and now let's help pick up the pieces? Shouldn't there be theological consideration as well? Is the devil mad at Texas and Florida as he was mad at Job? Did the devil do it? Is the devil doing it? Is it because they're good that they suffer such things? Job was good and godly. Is it because they're bad? Sodom and Gomorrah had fire and brimstone hurled upon them. The cities were destroyed and they're under the Dead Sea. Is there a word from the Lord about this? Bad things happen. Bad things happen purposely. Pilate murdered Galileans on purpose. Bad things happen accidentally. The Tower of Siloam fell, collapsed upon 18 people who died. People say it's an act of nature or an act of God, Harvey and Irma and Jose and Katia and Andrew and other hurricanes and forest fires and tornadoes and volcanoes and earthquakes. Jesus answered the question about calamity, or we might say, or affliction, or death itself. His answer is not global warming, though that might have something to do with it. His answer is not it was just their turn. His answer was not bad luck. His answer was not they were worse than others. They deserved it. His answer was, it is urgent to repent. Because we're all going to die, and then what? His answer was, the unrepentant are not ready to die, whether they die by calamity or whether they die by natural causes. The unrepentant will perish when they die, whether they die by calamity or by natural causes. That's why it doesn't say, except you repent, you shall all likewise die. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He's not saying that the people just died by the sword of Pilate or by the bricks and stones from the collapsed tower. He said they died, but they perished. And you're going to likewise perish, he said to these inquisitive Jews, if you don't repent. A stern message, but it needs to be said. Jesus was not a man that was unmerciful. People might say, wasn't this insensitive after these people were murdered and these people died? But Jesus is the gentle and meek Jesus. We know that. Jesus is the one who's been healing people. He's been healing the blind. He's been healing the deaf and the dumb. This was from gentle, mild, loving, sacrificial Jesus. And Jesus is sensitive, and he wants us to be sensitive. This is a horrible tragedy taking place. People are losing their lives, they're losing their homes, they're losing their legacies. They're losing their peace and quiet. They're going to be terrorized for the rest of their lives. When the wind blows, they're going to be scared if they survive the hurricane. And many things need to be said and felt, but the ultimate thing that needs to be said in time, certainly, not right away to most of these people that are running from the storm, But are you ready to die, whether it be by calamity or whether by natural causes? Because 100% of us are going to die. And I know it doesn't sound encouraging, but if you live long enough, you're going to suffer. I'm going to suffer. And if you don't, and you die, the only way you're not going to suffer is if you die early. But then you're going to make someone else suffer, and someone else is going to be bereaved. But sooner or later, you and I are going to suffer. We're going to have cancer, we live long enough, heart disease, Alzheimer's, or all three. My mother died of Alzheimer's. It was terrible to see her shrink and shrivel up and bite my father and hit him and die that way. It was horrible. She had cancer. And to see my father struggle to get his last breath and to see him die and close his eyelids was horrible, and yet it was serene. It was sacred to me. But he suffered. I believe in God. I believe in his existence. I believe God. I'm saved by his grace. And I believe the Bible is God's word to us. And Jesus answers the question about calamity. First, I'd like us to consider that Jesus did not say bad things only happen to bad people. He did not say bad things only happen to bad people. Job lost all his children in one tornado. All 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had to bury 10 children and his wife. And also he had to bury many of his servants. Abel was murdered by his brother. Joseph was sold as a slave. Zechariah the prophet was murdered right near the temple. Tamar was raped. Lot was captured in war. Daniel became a slave in Babylon. Hezekiah got terminal sickness. Jesus was crucified. Bad things do not only happen to bad people. Sooner or later, we're all going to suffer if we live long enough. Don Carson's wife just had recently a double mastectomy. My friend Gary Nisley was killed in a farm accident. And when he was killed, the Lord left me his legacy of the Hamburg Nursing Home Service. And we've been there 31 years. I know a man that was electrocuted as he was way up on a crane. Godly man. Gentle giant from Toronto. Jesus did not say bad things only happen to bad people. 2, Jesus did not say good things never happen to bad people. Or good things only happen to good people. Wicked people live into their 80s and 90s too. Sometimes with no problems. The psalmist said, they are not in trouble as other men. Fidel Castro died at 90 years old, that communist dictator. Pol Pot, the Cambodian tyrant, was 74. He wiped out a third of the population, the Killing Fields. You should read that book. Madeleine Murray O'Hare was 74, though she was stuffed in a 55-gallon drum and buried. She lived to be 74, and she's the one that was instrumental to get prayer out of public schools. The wicked breathe God's air too. They eat God's food. They enjoy God's sun, moon, and stars, and mountains, and valleys. They have children to enjoy. Jesus did not say good things never happen to bad people. He's good to the just and the unjust. It doesn't rain just on the Christian's garden. It rains on the non-Christian's garden. 3, Jesus did not say that the Galileans and the Siloamites were not sinners. He said they're sinners not worse than the ones who posed the question and reported the news. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is the transgression of God's law. We are creatures, and creation is the ground of our accountability. That's why you have people that say, I deny creation, I deny God, because they know if they posit creation, they're creatures and they're accountable to God. Jesus did not call these people that died innocent victims or saints in the wrong place at the wrong time. He called them sinners who perished. 4. Jesus did not say that bad things don't happen just because people are bad. I'm sorry. Jesus did not say that bad things don't happen just because people are bad. The way of the transgressors is hard. Bad things do happen to bad people. Absalom's hair got caught in the oak tree and he was slain. Haman got hung on his own scaffold. Sennacherib got murdered by his own sons. King Herod was struck by a horrible disease and died about a week later. Judas committed suicide. Ahab got killed by a random arrow. Jezebel got eaten by dogs. And all that was left was her skull in her hands. 42 profane youths got mauled by angry bears. Bad things do happen to bad people. But sometimes you can't tell if it's God's judgment or just because it's a dangerous world. When Herod's obituary came, they didn't say Herod died when God struck him with a disease. Herod's obituary just simply said he died of cancer. I'm just saying that some people get struck with a stroke. I'm convinced that Harold Camping, the heretic who misled and milked thousands of people, I'm convinced that God struck him with a stroke right after his prediction failed of 2000 and whatever it was, 3. But not very many times can you conclude that a person was struck with a calamity just because he was bad. But it happens. But what's the worst calamity of all? To die without Christ. And it only will happen to people who die bad. Die badly. Jesus did not say that bad things don't happen just because people are bad either. 5. Jesus said that Galileans and Salomites did more than die by those calamities. Do you see that? He said that those Galileans that were murdered and those Salomites who unfortunately and accidentally were killed, he said that they did more than die by those calamities. He said to the people that were alive, except you repent, you shall all likewise. Do you see that? Likewise. That's pointing back to the people that died. He's saying the people that died perished. He doesn't say they just died. If death was it, and your body's dead, and you go to the grave, and you're dust to dust, and there's nothing else beyond that, he never would have said perish. He's saying they suffered such things. Notice, suffered. And it's a perfect tense, which the Greek tells us it's something they experienced and it's ongoing in its experience. Just like the parable of the man that the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man had everything at his fingertips, but he didn't know the Lord and he died without Christ, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. And there's no indication the people that are in hell are ever repentant, because if you notice when he argues with Abraham, how does he treat Lazarus? Does he say, let me be with Lazarus, I'll serve? He says, hey, get Lazarus to do something for me. He treats Lazarus like a slave again, like all his slaves. Get him to give me a drink of water, just a little tip on the tongue. He's treating Lazarus still as a slave. And there's no indication ever in the Bible that people who perish are ever repentant. They don't want to be there, but they never want to be saved. They never want the Lord. But he says they suffered such things, and it says they perished. That word does not mean annihilated. That means they're devastated in their experience. They're alive. Paul talked about the resurrection of the just and the unjust. He didn't say that the unjust die and they're annihilated. He said the unjust are going to be raised too. So they're alive. He didn't say they were sleeping. Jesus taught in that parable in Luke chapter 16 that people who die without Christ are awake, are conscious, and they're consciously suffering. So he said that they did more than die. 6, Jesus did say by the parable of the fig tree that unless we have appropriate fruit as image bearers of God, we will be cut down by death, whether it be by calamity or natural causes. These people came with a grin. They came with a sly smile. They didn't like the Galileans. You know, the Jews in Jerusalem and Judea, they were prejudiced about the Jews in Galilee to the north and vice versa. And so they had a wry smile, didn't they? And Jesus put them in their place. He said, except you repent, you will likewise perish. Now, he's not saying you're going to likewise suffer a calamity if you don't repent. He's not saying that if you don't repent, everybody's going to suffer tragedy like murder or being murdered or something collapsing on you. That's not what he means. He says, you're going to die and perish. The fig tree illustration is the illustration of the Jewish nation from the Old Testament. And God is their God. He is their creator. And he expects fruit from the trees in his garden. And the application goes to all of us. We're his creatures. He expects fruit from our lives. What is fruit from our lives? To glorify God, to be thankful to God, to worship Him, to love Him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, to love our neighbors, ourselves. He's expecting that fruit, and if He sees no fruit, what's He saying? Cut it down. And you and I, if we're believers, are saying, Lord, don't cut down my lost relative yet. Lord, let me witness to him. Let me put fertilizer around it. Lord, let me do what I can. Please, let me pray another year. Let me say something more. Don't cut him down yet. And Jesus is saying those Galileans and those Siloamites were cut down because they bore no fruit. And he said to those Jerusalem, those Judean Jews, you have no fruit in your life. You'll be cut down sooner or later unless you repent. And he says to all Gentiles on this side of the world, you are my fig trees. I made you. You're my image bearers. And you're ignoring me. The worst sin in the Bible, as bad as rape is, and as bad as murder is, and as bad as theft is. You know what the worst sin in the Bible is? Idolatry. He names it over and over again. Idolatry is ignoring God. You don't exist. I don't need you. Go away. My own boss, I'll have nobody tell me what to do. That's idolatry. That's the worst sin in the Bible. The first two commandments deal with it. Rape's bad. Murder's bad. But idolatry is dealt with in the first two commandments. No other gods before me. Don't make any graven image and bow down and worship it. We bow down to the almighty dollar. We bow down to extravagance. We bow down to entertainment. We bow down to recreation. We bow down to work. Oh, brother and sister, the word of the Lord to you and me is it's urgent to repent. Because whether we die by natural causes, which could happen to me right now, or by some tragedy that we could be killed in an accident on the highway, or die of a heart attack, except we repent, if we're not ready, we will perish. And these poor people, the problem is often happening, we're so bound up in this life, we're more afraid of a hurricane than of hell. Jesus is saying, be afraid of hell, not just the hurricane, not just the tower collapsing, not just an accident. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. But people are more afraid of a volcano and a hurricane and a fire than dying without Christ. That's the real situation. And I'm not insensitive. My sisters had to flee. I'm praying for people. I want to do what I can. But they have a soul that will live somewhere forever. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to have a heart attack? Are you ready to die of natural causes? Are you ready to die in your car? If you're ready to die, you're ready to live. Our lives are so bound up in this life that we think that the worst thing that can happen to us is, and just name it. What's the worst thing that can happen to us? It's not the worst thing. Unless you've said to die without Christ. These are bad things. They're bad, rape and murder and violence and prejudice and adultery, covetousness, disrespect of authority. They're bad. They're bad because it's a lost world. It's a dangerous world. They're bad because God's law is violated. They're bad because they drive us to Christ. And that's a good thing. And Nebuchadnezzar was made to eat grass like an ox, but the Lord used it to drive him to Christ. They're bad because they usher people into a lost eternity. They're all traceable at the end of the day to the fall of man. At the end of the day, every single tragedy is traced to the fall of man. And at the end of the day, every single tragedy is traced to the sovereignty of God. Read Amos chapter 3. Is there calamity in a city and God has not done it? You say, was God a tyrant to send hurricanes? People have this idea that the God of the Old Testament is a God with a bad temper and the God of the New Testament is like gentle Jesus. That's not true. What's true is the God of the Old and the New Testament, His love is ratcheted up as you go from the Old and the New Testament, but His wrath is ratcheted up as you go to the Old and the New Testament. You see, we go from a God who has animals slain because He's showing the love of God that an innocent animal is slain as a picture rather than the sinner being slain. But what do we move to in the New Testament? We move to His Son dying. His love is ratcheted up from the Old and the New Testament. We go from animal sacrifice to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Is that not an evidence of the love of God? In the Old Testament, we go from a God who is a God of love and a God who spared people. Yes, a God that did bring judgments. But His wrath is ratcheted up. You can't read Revelation. Revelation has most horrifying language about hell in all the Bible. The smoke of their torment arose forever and ever. Read Revelation 14. The Lord Jesus here saying, this is gentle Jesus. This is the New Testament. The ratcheted wrath of God. Ratcheted up wrath of God. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus spoke on love. But Jesus spoke on wrath. Read Matthew 23. He says to the scribes and Pharisees, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You'll have greater damnation than the people that you've led into the wrong religion." That's gentle, mild Jesus, but that's serious-minded Jesus saying the truth. We need to speak the honest truth. And not just be one-sided. God's love is immense. You can't look at Calvary without thinking of God's love. But how can you also not see God's wrath at Calvary? You see Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But you see Jesus saying, "Oh God, why have you forsaken me?" That's the wrath of God. Ratchet it up, brother and sister. That's Jesus saying, it's horrible to suffer God's wrath. Flee from the wrath to come. So the message of the hurricanes is the love of God. And you know, at the end of the day, you know what I'm thinking? it's God's mercy that we don't experience more of these calamities. What does the Bible say? He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. We should receive more calamities for our ignoring God, for our lying, for our wicked, immoral thoughts, for our covetousness, for our idolatry. We've received less than we've deserved. God's love is immense, but God's wrath is immense. Who knoweth the power of His anger? Jesus knew it at Calvary, and people right now who die without Christ, like the Siloamites and like the Galileans who die, they know it, but only in measure. Because right now it's just the temporary prison. They'll be brought out of that prison to face God at the judgment day, and then Sing Sing, and there'll be no exit to Gehenna. Someone just wrote a book, Whatever Happened to Hell? It's not politically correct to preach on it anymore. Because we don't want to face reality. Hurricanes are horrible. And volcanoes and fires and floods and earthquakes, war and murder and disease. We should never lose the shock of a catastrophe. Let us pray for the living victims and the families that are bereaved of those who've died. Let us pray that suffering will be useful to people, that they'll repent, that they'll believe in the Lord, that we'll all have opportunities now to help people. Let us give. Let us go if we can. Samaritan's Purse is asking for volunteers. They're asking for 1,000 nurses. Let us be driven to the Lord by observing and or experiencing calamities. Let us see that repentance is urgent. Let us flee from hell, which is the worst and never-ending calamity. God is not a bully. God is holy. God is a God of love, but God is a consuming fire. He cannot allow sin to go unpunished. And if He's punished sin in His Son, how can we think that if we neglect His Son and we ignore His sacrifice, that God is going to show us any mercy? His love is ratcheted up, but so is His wrath. People who died in hurricanes without Christ have perished. People who died in hurricanes in Christ, some Christians have died. They'll be with the Lord. They're with the Lord. Except we repent, we're unready to die. If you and I repent, we are ready to die, whether naturally or if we too, sooner or later, we're going to suffer. Be ready to suffer. Be ready to die. And there'll be no perishing for the believer, only life eternal. I urge you today, if you don't know Jesus, I urge you like Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved.